Well, hello everyone. Today I want to talk about why are progressives so terrified of traditionalism, the idea of traditionalism, any sort of challenge to their narrative of progress. You know, Dr. Steve Turley, the Patriot professor, he likes to talk about that we're in a new conservative age and there's a rising traditionalism around the world, whether that's young men turning back to Christianity in America, or whether it's Putin in Russia, you know, invoking Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Christianity, or whether it's various different people in Europe, you know, going back to their heritage in various different ways, whether in Christian or pagan forms. This is something that has been happening while there has been, obviously, this much more mainstream assault on tradition, history, culture, and most importantly of all, of identity, which I actually think the so-called rise of traditionalism is in part a reaction to. You could actually broaden the thesis out to include Islam. I remember a book written some years ago called Jihad versus McWorld. Jihad versus McWorld. And it was arguing that the side of jihad was basically a traditionalist movement against Americanized modernity. And certainly you can see this in the Islamic Revolution in Iran, which was explicitly a reaction against an accelerated westernization of Iran. You can see it in various times in Egyptian history, especially the Muslim Brotherhood under Sayyid Qutb and all of the things that followed from that. Of course, things like the Taliban are explicitly reactionary. So, you know, there is a wider sense that this has happened around the world too. And even in some roundabout way, some of the more extreme leftists on the identitarian side, I'm thinking of like black nationalists, people who want to reclaim things like black science and voodoo and things like that. You could argue that even that is some sort of reaction against modernity. You know, in the most charitable sense, you could say, well, okay, they're saying, well, we're rejecting these white man tools of science or whatever. But on another way of looking at it is that, well, they're trying to reclaim a distinctive identity that is not part of this congealed, homogenous melting pot that they want everybody, you know, that modernity imposes on everybody. The dream of the modern system actually is to put every single person in the world into this grinder to make everybody the same. All distinctions, all qualitative distinctions between people are dissolved in a mass of, you know, what we might call the reign of quantity. So anyway, just to get back to this question, why is it that the progressive reacts so badly? I mean, I'll give you an example. I remember recently various people on social media were freaking out that the word retard has entered back into social parlance, and the political correctness around a word like retard and the taboo around using that phrase has been destroyed. And more or less that's been destroyed by the rise of the alternative right, or the online right, you might say, who just trample over these social niceties. And because this is actually quite prevalent, it has a disseminating effect through the rest of society. There is actually an extent to which what happens online affects what life offline as well. So now young people everywhere use retarded in the same way that we would have done it, okay? Now, there are other phrases I'm not sure that has happened with. For example, people of my age commonly used gay as an insult. Oh, that's gay. We used to say that all the time. And I still, I mean, I think in casual conversation, I still might do that. But I'm not sure if that has filtered, you know, I'm not sure if that has kind of made a comeback in the same way that retard has, for example. But anyway, that's just one example. And this is not simply something that the progressive finds distasteful. It is something that actually terrifies them to the core of their soul. Because any backward step, any concession basically made to those old things of the past that were meant to have been destroyed, that are meant to have been, were meant to have moved beyond that now, is not simply a political challenge to their power. I mean, it is that, and that is something that they fear. But it is also a much deeper epistemic challenge to the very foundations of their worldview and their core faith positions in ideas such as social progress. So in the world of the progressive, you can't ever move backwards. And if then you say, well, if we say, well, why not? Oh, well, because it's the current year, because it's 2024 now. We don't do that anymore. Well, why not? And this is really what it then exposes, because so often the forces of progress don't actually bother to have an argument for the things they believe in. They simply believe in them because we have progressed, quote unquote, to this point. And I mean, in my experience, this then forecloses whole categories, whole areas of conversation that you're not allowed to go into. I can remember from a few years back, an example of this is when I started arguing about why Lyndon B. Johnson is the worst president ever. And I was arguing at the time with a pair of progressives called Adam and Sitch. And one of the things that we got into was the whole business of integration. The ending of school segregation, whereby the American government, using force, using literally the army, forced kids at gunpoint to go to mixed race schools when their parents didn't want that. And basically, the question was to Adam and Sitch and to various other people who were around at that time, well, how is that justified? Why is that a good thing to do? Why do you support forcing kids to go to mixed race schools at gunpoint? Why is that principle important? How is that progress? Is that a forward step? Has it led to good results? Is that better than the notion of freedom of association? So all of those questions are quite uncomfortable for a progressive. They don't actually want to think about them. They don't want to open up that can of worms, so they want to keep a lid on it. And the way they keep a lid on it is just by saying, it's the current year. I remember the Justin Trudeau meme. Hey, it's the current year. And in one respect, we have already had a breaking of the dam. And that was when the Supreme Court in America repealed Roe versus Wade. That's why I've chosen The Handmaid's Tale as the front cover of this video. If you remember, the left and the progressives had this notion that life under Trump was going to be like The Handmaid's Tale, because in their view, the banning of abortion, I mean, abortion has not even been banned. What was repealed was Roe versus Wade, and then it was left up to the states. I don't want to get into all of that. But in the fevered imagination of the progressive, the repeal of Roe versus Wade represented something like the start of a slippery slope, whereby at the end of it, women are going to be forced to breed and seen primarily in terms of their reproductive function and nothing else. So there's a real fear a kind of loss aversion that all of the quote-unquote gains made by feminism could be lost almost overnight. You know, women will no longer be quote-unquote free to be chained to a corporate desk 10 hours a day and to spend their reproductive years trying to hit KPI targets for some manager who hates them. Instead, they would face a fate worse than death, actually becoming a mother and belonging to a nuclear family unit. Oh my gosh. And so the progressive has to immediately demonize and go to the worst possible nightmare scenario. It also uncovers something else, which is that the progressive worldview is something like a house of cards or a set of dominoes. If you remove one, the whole house may come down, or if you hit one domino, it may hit 100 other dominoes. And it seems to me that they have a real insecurity about this, and this idea is never that far from the surface. They always have this notion that if you take any step backwards, in their view, you go immediately straight to Hitler, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you know, you're straight there, you're immediately to Handmaid's Tale or, you know, fascist Italy or something, in their mind. So the worldview, this fragile worldview, this house of cards, is maintained by actually closing off, by being incurious, by being closed-minded, by putting vast swathes of human experience, ideas, action, outside of the realm of what is thinkable. So in the end, the circle of what is thinkable within the progressive purview is actually quite tiny. You've got this tiny bubble of allowable ideas that you're allowed to, percolate in. Anything outside of that must be banished, must be punished, must be pushed outside, must be made taboo, etc. And I think you could actually see that progressivism is in a death spiral at the moment. It's now reached a level of absurdity that they are putting a huge number of people outside of that, okay? And the more people who are cancelled and the more people who are outside of the progressive purview, the quicker we will come to a point where they are no longer the mainstream. Now, unfortunately, progressivism is so far dug in that you then end up with a set of concentric circles whereby the outermost circles are the people who have been quote unquote ostracized or cancelled from the progressive circle who are still basically progressive in all ways. I would call this something like the J.K. Rowling effect, right? J.K. Rowling is a liberal and a progressive in most ways, not a reactionary, not even a conservative. Konstantin Kissin, who we've talked about recently, or James Lindsay, these people are basically leftists in all but name. It's just that they have a problem with some aspects of woke culture. I'd even put someone like Chris Rufo in this camp, to be honest, or Elon Musk, right? These people basically have progressive worldviews still. So it's not going to defeat progressivism per se once the kind of core woke is put on the outside. And in fact, what I foresee coming in the near future is that once the woke is defeated and put away, the outer circle, the J.K. Rowlings and Elon Musk and so on, will turn their guns over against the, you know, more conservative or reactionary or traditionalist right, as they actually have been doing, as you've seen James Lindsay and Kissin picking fights with the right now. I've noticed Chris Rufo is picking fights with a guy over Israel as well, recently too. I think that that will be kind of the next chapter. And especially if Trump wins the next election, that is yet to be seen, but it's looking pretty likely at the moment. I reckon his time will see a lot of kind of centrist, quote unquote, or center-right action against the real right, to put it in those terms. I mean, if you ask me, we are the sensible centrists, and those who have these extreme and progressive views are the massive outliers, not just in human history, but even on Earth today. They are the ones who have extreme beliefs. But that is not how they see it, of course. And I think that that is coming. I would actually look out for that. So even though when I started this video, I was talking about the left and talking about the progressive left and the wokesters, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and I have got onto it, is the progressives of the liberal right, I guess you'd put it, or the liberal centre, the neoliberal centre. And that's everybody like Elon Musk, Chris Rufo, many of these characters who somebody like Dr. Steve Turley, who I mentioned right at the start, would see as massive allies in his struggle, are not in any respect part of his conservative revolution, because they're fundamentally not conservatives, they're progressives. All right, I think that's enough for today. A bit of stream of consciousness, really. I wanted to talk about this, no script, bit off the cuff, but I'd like to know your thoughts in the comments, if you agree or disagree with anything I said. I said quite a bit in the past 20 minutes or so. Pick up a course at the academic agency, of course. But most importantly of all, friends. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.